flip all these burgers.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Stick your guns a little bit. Here we go.
Broken bat. Nick Allen is there. Ball game over. Astros come into Philadelphia with the hottest team in baseball since August the 1st, and they went 2 out of 3 against the Phillies to start this gauntlet of a road trip. Plummer, that's a huge W.
How about that? The Astros get a W. As he said, one of the hottest teams in baseball over the last month plus. They get in there and take 2 of 3. This was a tight playoff, like, with the exception of when Brian King entered the chat. These were tight baseball games, all three of them. Again, then Brian King entered the chat, and then it was over. When you start bringing, like, I mean, he may be a hook.
It sucks to suck.
The hell is Space Cowboys. He may be a corpus hook.
He helped them boys out.
Nah, he may hurt them. But yeah, they got 7-4 stop. But outside of that, man, the first game was a tight, low scoring game that they were able to find a way to win, and 2-1 today. And there are several heroes. Let's start with Cam Smith. Cameron Von Smith, for those scoring at home. Is the sixth player in Astros history to hit 20 home runs in his age 23 or younger season. And also, he's hit three straight days he's hit home runs. And they've all been pretty big home runs. Yep. And this one, none bigger than this one, then in the top of the ninth, he goes deep to give them a 2-1 lead. So let's start there with Cam. Cam was sensational.
Yeah, look, for me, this is why I love Cam being an everyday player. I know he's hitting 219 or whatever it is. I know there's some struggles, but have been over the long haul from a numbers perspective. But I just trust him at the plate. He appears to be confident at the plate, not overwhelmed. And the pop that's in that bat, at any point in time, if he gets a pitch, he can change the game. It's within him is what I'm saying. It's not... He doesn't have to get a bad pitch. It's within him, and he appears to be confident in doing it. That last night is why I want to see him in the lineup every single night.
Yeah. Yeah, and we talked about that. I think he should be, when you compare, as you talked about the guys and what they're hitting, you look at it, and, I mean, Taylor Trammell, who I've liked, he's hitting 208 around him. Vasquez is hitting 210. 228 from Christian Walker, Varsho 228. It's not like, yeah. It's not. And then some of the other guys that are out, you know, that he gets kind of yo-yoed with or whatever. They're not hitting the ball off the cover off the ball. Like, they've got to be in the lineup or something. So the skill that he has of being able at any moment and in the postseason, you know, a bloop and a blast or just any kind of power like that. Is a situation in which, well, it can just happen immediately. So, yeah, I think he should be.
I think it's worth noting, too, is, again, you're talking about a young player. If a young player, a young hitter, is ever going to be overwhelmed, it would have been in this series against the last two starters and the bullpen pieces that the Phillies can throw out there. I mean, the guy he hit the bomb off of today, would you say it was a 98-mile-an-hour pitch?
Yeah, he was throwing 100 throughout. Yeah,
and so I mean, he's not going to get out there and get overwhelmed, and it's he's an ascending player that I'd like to see get everyday run. That was fun to watch last night.
Dude, man. Rand's one of the hardest,
in the whole series.
He's one of the hardest throwing closers in the game. Minnesota to now Philadelphia. Yeah, he took it for a ride. The other, I think, heroes in this matchup is Christian Javier. And it looks like, I don't know if we've reached a point, Clint, where maybe he's feeling really good from the injury. I mean, when I say the injury, I'm talking about Tommy John, and he's feeling better from that. I'm not sure. But the last few outings for Christian Javier have been different. 5 innings, 1 run last time, and then 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 earned, 5 Ks, 1 walk in this thing. And he was fantastic. Here's Joe Espada. His manager talking about the series and the performance from Christian Javier today.
Big series win. My goodness, a lot of homers in this series. Really good at bats. But let's start with Javi. Great job. Strong six innings. Continue, you know, gets better and better every outing he goes out there. Just really, really nice to see him just do that, because we know how good he is when he's on and he executes those pitches. You know, he likes pitching in this ballpark, and he threw the ball exceptionally well.
I mean, we're looking at this run through the rotation, and they'll have a – you'll love this again, Clint. They're going to have a opener tomorrow. But this run through, Clinton Tyler, Hunter Brown was the worst starter.
Yeah.
He pitched the worst out of them, right? We saw and he's the one that you're like, all right, well, we know where he's going to be. I mean, I'm not going to say there's no concern with him, but he – you know, he's the one who pitched the worst out of this. We saw Wisniewski have a solid performance.
Another one.
Yep. Lambert had a seven innings, three runs, solid. And then this right here. So Christian Javier is giving them options where he can come out of the bullpen, which we know he's able to do, or start like this and come up with big game performances.
Well, you know this is what he's capable of. I mean, we've seen it before. The part that we just heard from Joe Espada, the part that I hope is real – is, you know, he's talking about just keeps getting better and better. If this is truly a better and better moment and we've reached a Christian Javier where, you know, he's confidently got there, then this could be huge, right? I mean, we knew he could do it. We knew he had electric stuff. It's just a matter of what does he bring to the ballpark that day. If this is truly a, hey, man, this kid's gotten better and better and better. He's stretched out and getting comfortable, and this is something we can expect more of, then today was an even better day than I at first glance.
Yeah, no, a big time performance. We'll see if he can continue this. But this last, I'd say, 2 to 3 outings has been what you're looking for, right? Yeah. On time.
Good to see you smile.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, the injury report is out for the Texans and the Bills, but the injury report is out as there's some guys here, Clint, that did not practice. Yesterday we talked about it. Everybody practiced in some form. Today, Will Anderson did not participate in practice. This was non-injury related rest is what was shown here, Clint, on the injury report. But Caden McDonald, who yesterday was a limited participant with an ankle, he is now in the did not practice category today with that same ankle. Trent Brown and Wade Woodass, they remain in the situation of just being on the list, but full participants. And then for the Bills, Ty Johnson, TJ Sanders, both of them were DMPs yesterday. I'm sorry, TJ Sanders was limited yesterday. He now joins Ty Johnson as DMPs on a Thursday. So those are two ones to watch. Those are guys that are in, at the very least, in their rotations at running back and defensive line. But Caden McDonald is the one to look at there, Clint, going from limited participation in practice to now didn't participate on Thursday.
Yeah.
So he's missed one of the heavy days.
Yeah, look, I mean, second-round pick in the draft that you would like to be in the rotation immediately. No doubt about it. But if there is a hitch in the get along here, if there's a little bit of a problem with the ankle, there's no reason to rush it because you do have a really good rotation of interior defensive linemen in that room with Caden McDonald. So that's really the only thing that sticks out on this injury report that you go, okay, that could impact the active roster. But even if it were to impact the active roster, they've got plenty of good quality depth that we've seen here in a Texans uniform before, that'll be just fine at that D-tackle position.
Yeah, so that's the one there. Again, he's really the only one that's showing up there, so we'll see what happens with Caden McDonald, see if they rule him out or something tomorrow as things to continue. But that is the injury report going into Friday tomorrow with the Bills and the Texans.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, I'm certain Best Bets was good for Clint. For, I don't know if it was good for Clint.
I didn't get in.
But Best Bets was good for Tyler last night. The AJ Brown thing. I don't know, man. I if somebody gets injured, how far into it does it go? I don't know. We could get into that a little bit later. I think that's unfair, a bit. If you don't get the second half, maybe you shouldn't the bet shouldn't count. I don't know. It's unfair.
I think if an injury happens, especially on a total catches or targets or something like that, I think it first half injury, I think should avoid that thing.
Especially in football. Especially. Yeah, but
especially with Tyler's bets. He deserves it.
Yeah. And I'm assuming Tyler will have more football tonight. 49ers and Rams from Australia. Clint, the Rams are a 4-point favorite in this matchup. The Niners, they've had some of their stars kind of up in the air. George Kittle, he is going to play and has been cleared to play. So has Nick Bosa. We hadn't seen either one of those guys in a minute. Also, their running back, Christian McCaffrey, who had some injury issues during the offseason, he is also there and cleared to play. Aaron Donald did not make the trip to Melbourne, so he is not going to play. But Rams, they are the Super Bowl favorites right now on DraftKings, and they're the favorites right now in this game, 4-point favorites. Your thoughts about this one tonight, because a lot of people have high expectations for the Rams, and we talked about our picks yesterday of teams that made the playoffs this past year that won't miss. The 49ers are a popular team to drop. They've had an odd offseason themselves.
Yeah, they have. But look, this is going to be a hell of a football game. I mean, that division is a monster, and these are two of the teams that are always must see TV. And so the key here is not just, hey, these guys haven't played football all offseason, right? Very little to no preseason action, and then they had to travel to Melbourne, right? They had to travel. One team went over a week ago, the 49ers. The other team went over last night, right? They're not even going to allow their chance, their body a chance to get on that clock. They're going to get over there, play a football game,
and
get back. And so there's a lot of moving parts here, man. For me, I don't know where Tyler's going with it. I would go with the under. I would go with the under and stay away from the line because I have no idea what to expect. Excited to see Mike Evans in a 49ers uniform. He is the kind of guy that can completely change and offense, so excited to see that. Always good to watch Matthew Stafford, one of my favorite quarterbacks to watch. So it'll be a hell of a matchup, no doubt about it. Is anybody surprised that Christian Kirk is hurt?
No, I'm not.
No.
I was checking on the depth chart, see what's going on.
Yeah.
There's red letters next to his name on the ESPN depth
chart. Yeah, he's on IR, I believe.
Yeah.
Kick off the season with those.
I'll be damned.
Those four straight. Did you? Yeah, I'm excited.
That must be a good life to go get paid millions of dollars, and hell, you ain't even available half the time.
He started both these seasons on IR the last 2 years. Kyle Shanahan seems to always play Sean McVay tough, no matter who they have. They could have injuries. I remember last year they were completely shredded with injuries. Maybe like the worst situation they had on a primetime game in L.A., and they found a way to win that game with Mac Jones as a quarterback. So I think I'm with you. I think this is tight. By the way, before we move, did you get a sense of watching last night between the Patriots and the Seahawks? Like, ooh, these some teams that ain't done a lot in preseason. Had done a lot. Did it was it noticeable to you?
I think it was, generally speaking, because you had a low scoring game that was sloppy. But I'll be honest with you, the piss poor decisions by Drake May on one side of the ball, and then the quarterback getting hurt so early on the other side of the ball, it puts you in a position where you're watching a backup, which, by the way, tip the cap to Drew Lock, man. Yeah. Are you kidding me? Cooper Kupp, after the game, said had no reps all week long.
Yep.
No starter reps all week long. To go out there and do what he was able to do, he looked good.
How many years he by himself? You think?
Oh, another five. He's probably young. I mean, he's below his age, so he's aged well.
That's 4 or 5 years.
Easy.
Shout out to Justin Hoover.
I told you. The key is he needs to get healthy quick.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
He's gonna get one more shot. Yeah, he's gonna miss at least week two.
Yeah, he's gonna get one more shot. But hey, get Sam Darnold back, man. Get your ass back on that bench as quick as you can. You get you before you screw up this good thing, no question. But big shout out to Drew Lock, man. I root for him.
Yeah, he's got about four teams waiting for him.
I'm gonna be honest with you, boys. The backpack, that he put on after college his celebration. It's one of the best.
You like it? I hate his college.
5 o'clock. Your wife fire. Don't.
Yeah. She's not perfect. Falcons quarterback Clint. You won't believe this, Tyler. I mean, This is going to catch you well off guard. Tua got injured today right before the season starts, right after he was announced the starting quarterback in Atlanta. He has suffered an oblique injury in practice today. During the media viewing portion of practice, Tua threw a pass during a drill, then immediately grabbed his back before sitting down on the grass. He did get up and jog off quickly. Tua did not throw another pass during the media viewing period. Cooper Rush, another one of those guys who's bought himself, had a performance against the Bengals for the Cowboys and bought himself another 5 years. Cooper Rush, the Falcons' backup quarterback, said he took all the first-team reps during the team part of practice today. So, Michael Penix Jr., Tua, looked like neither one of them are out, and Kevin Stefanski traded in Deshaun and Shadur for Cooper Rush.
I'm not going to let it take my joy.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, man. I mean, we're sitting here, what is it, Thursday?
Yes.
We're sitting here Thursday before a Sunday game, and my man has an oblique issue? Come on, man.
I mean, there's got to be family members and friends. Just throwing the damn towel to a
Cooper Rush. my man has landed on his feet, ain't he?
Man.
He's going to go out there with that supporting cast?
I thought he was in a little trouble the way he played. Filling in for Lamar Jackson, because why the hell would? Because he seems like the perfect backup quarterback for Lamar Jackson. That seems like the perfect fit of you want to get a quarterback. You don't have to change up a lot of stuff with the offense. That's right. Let's go get Cooper Rush to back up Lamar Jackson out there. So you
great fit, right?
Great fit. I thought he might have been a little trouble because he got his ass worked when he came in, but. But no, man, landing on his feet. We'll see. And now he's starting opening week. There he goes.
Oh, they hadn't declared
Come
it
on,
yet,
man.
Though,
yeah, they don't have. All right, sorry. He potentially may. Come on, guys. Tua, oblique.
He can't put
Thursday. Sat down on the grass after he threw the pass. Yeah.
Sat down on the grass.
Yeah.
Okay, who's
remember how long that hip kept him out at Alabama? Not a chance, man. Coming up, there's one guy that is a starter. That Clint, I know, is wondering from you to people, how does this sit with you? This is somebody that I don't think many people would have been fired up about if they said, all right, coming into this important season, he's going to be one of the starters. We'll discuss that coming up next.
95.7 The Fan presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Once again, tomorrow, Football Fridays is back. We'll be at Oak and Iron. Come hang out with
us.
2 to 6 o'clock. Great food. Great drinks. Good people.
Great vibe.
Yeah, great vibe. Yeah, good. Yeah, TV's all over the place. A great
Tyler,
spot
I wish
to hang
you could
out.
Be there, man. It's the opening season. It's the opener of the season. You probably should be.
It's going to be a party. I wish I was there, too.
Yeah, I wish you were, too.
I'll be here.
Yeah.
I'll hold it down.
I believe in you.
I believe in me, too.
Yeah, but I believe
oh,
in
you. Oh,
you
think you believe in me more than I do? No, I believe in myself more than you do.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know, man. Ron really believes in Tyler.
I'm a Milner believer.
Who isn't? Why wouldn't you be?
That's a fair point.
That's a fair point.
Hard to not like.
I'm a pretty neat guy.
Psycho Megan. Psycho Megan. One home stand left. All right.
Going to one of them.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. Let's start. Let's start to have serious conversations around here right now. All right, Clint, I wonder how people feel about this, because I know you've been thinking this too. Had I told you, and I want you to think this one through, had I told you, hey, man, to kick off the season, week one, Xavier Hutchinson is going to be one of your top three wide receivers, one of the guys that start the game. We got a starting lineup, three receiver set. He's going to be one of the three receivers. How would you have felt about that before the offseason started?
Not good. I would have. I mean, look, I was down on the. On
and
the
I'm
pass
telling you
catchers.
on purpose, they're doing it. Not just because there's a bunch of injuries.
Yeah. I would not have felt good. I mean, I think they've even their actions have shown that Xavier Hutchinson is a depth receiver. I think that's how they've used him. They've drafted over him. They've brought guys in over him. I mean, that's how they've used him. Now, he's benefited from so many guys being injured. This time it's Jaden Higgins. I think it's a combination of Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel being injured early in camp, Higgins being injured late in camp, Tank Dell not being available. So I think he's once again the last man standing, if you will, to get the run. But yeah, if you just said that a month ago, I would have not been happy about that decision.
How do you feel about it today? Because I feel the same way that I did before.
Well, I think here's the thing for me is I don't have a problem landing on Xavier Hutchinson. He is a very valuable insurance policy for the wide receiver room. I love that about him, right? I am coming around to actually liking where they've landed right now, right? Not being forced to because the injuries, well, I have a choice. Like, the more I look at Xavier Hutchinson and how they use that particular receiver and how good Xavier Hutchinson has been in that particular spot, I don't know that this isn't not best case scenario, because I think Higgins would have absolutely manhandled some folks in the block game. But given that this is a team that is so focused on moving with a sense of urgency, communicating, running the football, wide receivers blocking, I don't know that Xavier Hutchinson isn't the best man for that job.
Yeah, when you take it from, that's what I said, I feel the same way I did before. Like, I just think when he's on the field, it brings your ability to be explosive down. To me, it brings your ability to make big plays down. And, you know, especially in this offense and the way we've seen it being run, he doesn't exactly fit the body type of where you think where it looks like he's going to play in the slot. He doesn't exactly fit that. You know, when I look at him, he doesn't mirror the Wes Welkers, the Danny Amendolas, the Julian Edelmans who've played in that role in a way that a Jalen Noel does, right? In size and in and out of their breaks, you know, two-way go guys. So he doesn't really fit that. That's me. Obviously, for them and them who it feels like they're putting such an emphasis on being physical and running the football and using their receivers in that fashion, it makes a lot of sense in what they're doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, when we first started training camp, like, Higgins was getting all the move stuff.
Yep.
And so Hutch just then becomes a stagnant receiver outside. Or, yeah, they move him around a little bit, but he's pretty much a stagnant receiver. I don't like him in that role.
Yeah.
Like, because now you're settling for a lesser than, right? To me, if you move him into the slot and he's that move guy and you got the advantage of him being the blocker, the more prominent blocking wide receiver, if you will, in the offense, and you're asking him to do more slot-type things like, hey, see the zone, you know, feel the soft spot in the zone and settle down. You're not going, hey, the quarterback's getting heated up, you got to go win a one-on-one battle. You got Boutte and Nico Collins outside to do that now. So I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like it as a plan moving forward year-round. Or year long. Not a big fan of that. But where the Texans are right now and what their number one priority is, which is running the football and being clean, lining up, sense of urgency, all that kind of stuff, communication, I think he's gonna be a real advantage in that department. I think he's gonna help CJ Stroud in the sense of not being a guy that he's gotta tell where to go, remind what he's gotta do. He's a veteran, that's solid, that's savvy, that'll help them move with a sense of urgency and will definitely help them in the run game. So I think where this offense is and who they're playing in the first week of the season, I'm coming around and not just going, well, we landed there, good thing we got an insurance policy, and more or less looking at it like, you know, Hutch is
– his strengths and why he makes so much sense and why you're coming around to it is –
well, first and foremost, the run piece. Yeah. I mean, you don't have to sub him in or move him around. Like, he's going to be the guy that's going to do the most of the motion inside. and be the guy that's going to, if they snap the ball to the receiver in the backfield, it's going to be him. If he's, you know, needing to line up and chip for Trent Brown so that the speed rusher doesn't come off the edge, then he'll be that guy. So I like him in those roles. And then, again, you're not dependent on him winning one versus man-on-man outside. He's working the middle of the field, and he's proven to be pretty savvy with that.
Yeah. All right. We'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, he is definitely, at least to start the season, going to be in their top three. I do personally hope that Jalen Noel gets a look.
I do too. Yeah,
no, because I think that or both of them play, but that explosive element I think is key and important to just put some fear in the back.
No, I'm with you. Long term, that's why I said the short term right now, first game of the season. You know, if Jalen Noel is a guy that hasn't had enough experience to where him and C.J. Stroud are on a great page with great chemistry, then I would rather, again, I would rather Hutch be in there, who we know has great chemistry with C.J. Stroud, who he can almost be a security blanket for the quarterback from that slot position, more so than an inexperienced guy that's been injured most of camp, but he's a little bit more explosive. Now, long term, like season long term, I think this offense is more explosive and has a much higher playmaking ability if you get a guy like Jalen Noel in that slot spot.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what this looks like. But I mean, if you want to say, "Hey, man, we're going to commit to running the football," I think you'll see him in a lot of motion being somebody where they start to kind of. I'm not saying he's going to be the lead blocker, but he is going to be somebody that they're not afraid to run behind. Coming up as we continue, it's been a good week staying in the green overall, 4-for-6 here on Tuesday and Wednesday. And now on a Thursday, football bets are back. Did pretty good last night. Only an injury took him out from being perfect. T-Mill's best bets. See if he can win a little cash some more. That's coming up next as we continue right here on The Fan.
Not only do I stop by Sports Radio 610 in Houston, Tyler, shout out.
All right, H-Town. Today's picks are in. The choice is yours. Are you tailing?
Forget the myths. The media is created to just follow the money.
Or fading?
There is no nobility in poverty.
It's time for T-Mill's best bets on The Drive.
I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich.
All right, there it is. T-Mill's best bets. We do it every night around this time. As T-Mill, he's been having a pretty good week. Pretty good week thus far. In the green every day. Last night, the only thing that got him was A.J. Brown. And that's a tough one because A.J. Brown had 3 receptions. Really should have had 4. Drake made, like, people were talking about his throws yesterday. That underthrow that should have been a touchdown in the end zone to A.J. Brown was awful. I mean, that was about 10 yards. That should have been thrown, like, in the middle to the back of the end zone. That thing, A.J. had to come back to the, like, to the field of play. He was clear. So that would have been another reception. But that was the only one that Tyler lost last night. But there is some more NFL football, so I'm guessing he's going to go in that direction. Again, what you got for T-Mill's best bets? By the way, you can find all of his bets, if you don't hear him every night, at Space City Sharp on Twitter. Space City Sharp. He also has other things to help you with your betting needs. What you got?
Well, just trying to get the people, the Drive family, where we are, where I am. I mean, I got maroon money. I got deep pockets. We are 4-for-6 to start the week. I'm trying to get the people there with me. Trying to put money in their pockets. You might want to tail because if we hit on these tonight, it is 100% going to be a heater that is going on for best bets.
100%.
More football after our first slate of football wagers last night. That was very profitable and successful. Rams and 49ers in Australia. Down under. I got the Rams -3 to cover the points. Rams -3. I know that's been fluctuating today between 3 and 4, 4.5-ish. I got it at -3. I'd probably take it at -4 as well for the Rams. I'm also, once again, on the under Much like last night, do not expect this many points to be scored at all, especially not with that Rams defense out on the field. 49 points, under 49 points for the Rams and Niners in Australia tonight. And your third and final best bet for this game is going to be that dude, the Aggie. Mr. Automatic, 1,000-yard receiving seasons. Mike Evans.
There we go. There we go.
Over 3.5 receptions for Mike. That's it.
I wouldn't expect anything less than a heart bet from you. Just one good heart bet.
Always got the one in there, doesn't he?
He does.
It's usually the one I don't hit.
No, that's not true. I like this one.
I do wonder how he is used.
The thinking for me is much like we were thinking about A.J. Brown last night. Like, he's with his new squad. He's an established veteran. I think they're going to go to him early and often. Now, he wouldn't get all pissy like A.J. Brown, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. I wonder, because I don't know if Brock has had a player like this. Because Mike, I think, takes people some players and quarterbacks used to playing with Mike. Because Mike is open covered. And you got to put it up there at times when he is covered.
Yeah.
Because he can go up and just make plays, or it doesn't appear he's getting separation and suit you go there. And I wonder if Brock Purdy, we'll see how he adjusts to them. But like, would you say, is he the number? Is it Ricky Pearsall? Maybe
he's hurt.
Is he hurt too?
Yep.
Is he hurt? So maybe he is.
That power station right there got him.
That got him.
He's hurt.
That's right. And
they got the young kid they drafted. Everybody thought they overdrafted out of Ole Miss.
Yeah. And so maybe he does get there. Ricky Pearsall being out. George Kittle is back tonight. So that could be a good bet there for him. There it is. T-Mill's best bet. As we do them every single night here on The Drive at this time. See if you can win a little cash. See if we can come in tomorrow. Well, we'll be at Oak and Iron. Remember, come hang out with us tomorrow, Football Friday. Oak and Iron, come have some drinks, make some bad decisions, have a good time with us as we get you ready for the first Football Friday of the year. That's right, and it's Ron. And we'll see. Rob's not going out there. Tell his ass to stay home.
We can't get fooled again.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you. But hopefully Tyler gets some wins at T-Mill's Best Bets when we get in tomorrow. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, John McClain and Aiden Fisher stop by the show tonight. So the Hall of Famer, John McClain, Aiden Fisher, will be on with the fellas, Mark and John, on Texans All Access. And again, as the same as yesterday, no Area 45. As we will be airing courtesy of Westwood One, no Area 45, the Rams and the 49ers game tonight. You can hear right here driving around on 95.7 The Fan. So there you go there with tonight. All right, Clint, we heard from Nick Caserio, Nick Caley, the OC for the Texans earlier, and he talked about several things, including his relationship with being a second-year play caller. He talked about your favorite, communication. That became a theme almost of the press conference that was talked about, and that question was posed to him several different ways. Here he was – here's C.J. Stroud, talking about the communication piece that Nick Caley talked a ton about today.
We've been able to communicate better, and then just show him what I like, what I don't like, you know, and he does the same thing. And I think, you know, we're just getting better. You know, I'm understanding where he's coming from more, and he's doing the same for me.
That's been a big conversation piece compared to what they were doing last year.
Yeah.
And we heard it, like we said, a lot today. If you missed that, he was on. About 15 minutes, took a lot of questions today from the media in the 3 o'clock hour, at 3 o'clock, if you want to look back at that on the Odyssey app. Overall, with that, hearing about CJ and him talking about communication and where they are and everything that it holds, are you in a space right now where you're feeling better about the OC, Nick Caley, as at the point that we've arrived to week one, which is Sunday, and this entire offseason, everything they've implemented, what they've done in year two, and everything we're hearing, are you in a space where you're feeling better about Nick Caley going into this game than you did at the start of the offseason? Has anything shifted for you?
No, nothing shifted. I mean, you know, we're not going to be able to tell, you know, who and what Nick Caley's about until rubber meets the road in year two. We'll see what kind of progress he's made and how he's grown and matured as a play caller. We won't see that until we get real game action. The offseason, I've seen some things that I like. You know, I like the variety in the screen game that we saw this offseason. I thought there was we saw him talking about, you know, stuff talking about sense of urgency in and out of the huddle. I think there's evidence of that on tape, in the limited action the first team got. There's evidence of that. You know, I do like some of the things that I saw in the preseason, but man, it's, you know, once you get beyond your first 10 or 15 plays in a game, there's so much that goes on in terms of just feel. You know, your offense really gets exposed at that point of like, are you really able to build your offense around players, or do you revert back to what you like?
Yeah.
Right. And that's the fear with Nick Caley, is that when the script is up and it's second quarter, maybe through the second quarter, and you're in your third or fourth drive, and the defense on the sidelines made a couple of adjustments, and does he know how to counterpunch? Does his offense show that, hey, all offseason we've been building ways to get Nico Collins looks and touches and targets in critical moments, no matter what the down and distance is? You know, those kind of things to me are the only way to really gauge where Nick Caley's at. I mean, there's nothing in camp, in practices, in preseason games that really tells you much.
Yeah. You just don't know exactly where, you know, what the adjustments are, what the second year is going to be, because one, they've got new personnel. There's some new personnel and personnel that they didn't have access to at times last year. Like the tight end room is different, especially the start of the season. There was no Brevin Jordan last year. There was no really Cade Stover was out so long, and then, you know, you could tell he was affected by the injuries that he had. Marlon Klein didn't exist. The offensive line is different. And again, like you said, they haven't, and maybe the Texans have done so in practice that we haven't seen as much of, but in practice to confuse. But like teams like the Raiders and the Panthers, they weren't really showing them like, all right, man, we're game planning to stop this and to do this. That's the thing for me, is what does he do? Two things for me with him is, what does he do to adjust to things that teams do to him and his offense, and then adjust to have an answer to that? And then for me, is he able to do things in his offense, or have to bring in other ways of doing this to get the best out of his players? Is he able to get the best out of Nico? Is he able to put Marks in the best position to get the best out of him? Because he has some players, Clint, that can be close, either difference makers or close to it, if you can get the best out of them. And those are things we will not find out until we see them line up against Buffalo.
Because there's nothing that's been timed either, right? You got four quarters to go out there and win a ball game. Do you have the ability to get Nico Collins a football in multiple different ways so that he can impact the game throughout? Or does it just come in spurts in the third quarter and maybe a little bit early on in the first quarter? Do you have the ability to do it throughout? You know, you mentioned Woody Marks, just the overall run game. He's been tasked with, you know, what many believe this run game has to be a top half of the league run game. You know, what has he done? How does he get that accomplished from a play calling perspective? We talked about it all day. The pressure that this offense and CJ Stroud wasn't able to handle in the past. They're going to get those looks. Like, is his offense prepared to have answers for those looks?
Yeah.
You know, I think those are ways to gauge Nick Caley. There's really just not much at all in practice that you can pull from.
Yeah. Until it starts to get real, and that's coming on Sunday. Tomorrow, however, we will be out at Oak and Iron one more time. Come hang out with us as Football Friday. I'm excited. Football Friday is back at it. We'll be out there. Clint, great job. As always, Tyler, fantastic job. Texans All Access, John McClain coming up behind us. I am Ron, the show, Hughley, and as always, Houston, we love you, baby.
Tyler Milner just texted me and said, "What's up, cracker?"
I just don't believe Tyler, did you really text that to him?
It was relevant that day to a conversation they were having where they mentioned cracker. I didn't just like randomly like, "Hey, what up, cracker?"
I don't know if that's what you if that's what you said, "What's up to you guys?" Maybe you and Clint, you text Clint that or Blaine or somebody.
It's not my go-to usually.
Not your go-to?
No, I'm more likely to be like, "What up, Turbo," or "Chief," or "Big Guy."
I just hadn't heard. I didn't know that was your normal.
You put Chief in the middle of Turbo and Big Guy.
Oh, I didn't mean anything personal by that.
I'm just telling you.
That's what the whites used to do.
Brought to you by...
You coming?
T-Mills in the hole!